Welcome, everyone, back to the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your host, Larry.
And I am your other host, Justin.
And we want to welcome you all to this season's Silent Hill review. We are on Silent Hill Origins. We had to adjust a little bit here on the fly. We were supposed to be joined by Jacob. He is a world-ranked speedrunner for this game. He actually reached out to us saying he'd like to join us for this review. And he ghosted us.
Yeah, it makes me sad because I feel like Jacob was nice. What happened?
And like we also rely on him for some stuff. I messaged him on Sunday, gave him the rundown, told him what we were going to have him be responsible for. He confirmed it was okay. I messaged him a couple times today. It's Thursday as we record, and he never responded, but he has tweeted and stuff. So, I mean, I respect my time. I respect Justin's time, and we got stuff to do. So we are adjusting on the fly, as it is said.
Yeah. Yes.
So I guess a little public service announcement here. If you don't stand people up and don't ghost them in any aspect of life, it's just not a cool thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, even just like, hey, I can't do tonight. Okay.
Yeah, things happen. Yeah. We're understanding.
Oh yeah, I mean, like,
angry people.
You know, I got kids. I've had my times where I've been like 5 minutes before recording, been like, "Hey, Larry, I can't do tonight."
When your daughter was born, you're like, "Yo, bro, I'm heading to the hospital. Go ahead." That's when I barely know how to record. That was the infamous Larry Devin interview episode, our first interview. But yeah, like I said, things happen, and we definitely understand that. But yeah, so it's going to be a little bit different because we are adjusting. Two big notes, though. Whitney always comes through for us, and she wrote us a lovely email. So that's actually going to help us a lot
yes.
for some of the missing gaps we had. And then the second thing is I want to be the first to congratulate Justin. You just signed with All Elite Wrestling, didn't you?
Oh, God damn it. I knew you were going to bring it up. God damn it.
In case you don't know, Justin's doppelganger is the Big Show.
Man, I still don't see it. I really don't see it.
Everyone I tell that agrees with me. I know you don't see it, but everyone I say that to agrees with me.
God,
everyone.
I have hair, though.
But so did he at one point.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. God damn
it. If you put a bald cap on, you would be the Big Show.
Maybe I'll do that for Halloween. I'll do that for a special episode just for you.
Thank you. Maybe this Halloween we'll go live on Twitch and record the Halloween episode. And we'll go in costume.
Oh, okay. I'm up for that. That actually sounds really good.
Kind of fun.
Yeah.
And maybe we could bring in some guests too
okay.
during that review session.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So, yeah, like I said, we had like our normal like guest stuff planned. I actually don't have any notes, but so I'm making you go first. Justin, what have you been doing this week?
Well, this week was a little different for me. I actually got
okay.
very sick.
Yes.
I had some weird lung stuff happen to me, but I went and got a COVID test and that came back negative.
Good.
But like even to the, like it started like last Thursday, like right after we recorded. And, mm-hmm. Even now I'm still very like shallow breath. It's just sometimes randomly it'll be hard for me to catch my breath, but I mean, I do have asthma, so it's kind of my everyday life. It's just a little bit worse now.
Yeah.
So I was in bed for 5 days and didn't play much. So really the only thing I've done is I played a little bit of Persona 5 Strikers, which I'm kind of on the fence about. I do need to sink more
Hopefully
time.
Hopefully you beat Silent Hill Origins.
Oh yeah. I'll get to that. That's my last thing.
Okay. All right.
And I always forget
all you
to
did
include.
Was Persona 5 Strikers. Like hopefully beat this game. I cannot carry this by myself.
No, I say that's all I did, but so I put like a couple hours into Persona 5 Strikers. I beat Super Mario 3D World and got about halfway into Bowser's Fury.
Mail that to me when you're done.
I have it digitally.
Digital, isn't it?
Yeah. It's always digital. After my PS2 died a while ago, I rebought a PS2, so that'll be shipped to me hopefully by the end of the month. I bought off eBay.
A fat PS2, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, fat PS2. And then what else? I've been playing Pokemon Blue.
Where are you at?
So I just finished... I'm just going into the like Ghost Tower where you need the Silph Scope.
Lavender Town?
Yes, that's the one. I haven't been paying attention, dude. There I've been
some,
like laid
there
up.
There are some lovely creepypastas out there about Lavender Town if you're so inclined.
Oh, I remember back in the day a bit like the Lavender Town song that would like make people kill themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fucked up. But yeah, so I'm in Lavender Town. Again, I haven't really been playing much. I did finish Silent Hill Origins. I actually streamed the first half, but the second half I had to finish because I was laid up in bed. And man, fuck, is that all I did? Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a lot, but I guess that's it. What about you, Larry?
So game-wise, I'm keeping up on my progression through the seasonal stuff for Destiny 2 and for Dead by Daylight. Because again, like I said, my goal is to hit max player level for both of the seasons for both those games.
Okay.
So like basically like there's like a certain amount of days in the season and amount of levels you got to get. So basically my goal is to make sure I stay on that track. And I'm doing okay for that. I tried to hop back in to continue grinding synthesis stuff in Kingdom Hearts, and I just couldn't bite that pill. I could not do it. I tried.
It broke you a little bit.
It did. I watched Captain Marvel for the first time.
Oh, how was it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I had a lot of people, I had not heard a lot of positive things about it, but I really liked it.
Interesting. Okay.
I really did. I thought it was really good. The soundtrack is killer.
Well, it's like 80s, right?
No. It's like 90s grunge, brother.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't seen it, I would say watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to.
I really liked it, and Samuel L. Jackson had a way bigger role in it than I was prepared for, and that was awesome.
Oh, holy shit. I meant to ask you this before we even started recording, but we're recording now, so I'm just going to ask you. Did the U.S. not get Disney stars? It's like all of Disney's mature content.
I borrow a friend's Disney Plus login. I've traded them my Discovery Plus. That's kind of how.
Oh no, that's how work.
I mean, I have like other stuff on it. Like there are some like more adult term movies, but I guess I'd never seen anything about Disney stars. No.
Oh, check it out if you do.
I actually hadn't even heard of that until you just mentioned it here.
Oh yeah, I heard about it yesterday from another Canadian person, but apparently the U.S. may or may not have it. I don't know. You should look into it because it does have a lot of cool stuff, including some movies we may be watching soon.
If you're talking about Arachnophobia, I own that.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
Yeah, awkward. I have to. You have to own your fears, Justin.
Does it work?
No. So that's the games I'm doing. I'm very excited tomorrow. Bravely Default 2 comes out. I'm super pumped about it. Part of that like that video game critic thing we're doing, mm-hmm. I picked it, so that's part of it. But for me, I just love it. It's like it's a very cartoonish JRPG, and the thing about it I love the most is the grinding. It is like a mix of Final Fantasy 3 meets art style, Final Fantasy 5 job system meets like Final Fantasy 12 Zodiac Age speed and like setting up your battle. So you go into a battle, it's already going to go. And like if you're in a bad spot, you can turn off encounters so like you can like get back to a safe spot, not lose time.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm really excited. The IGN gave it an 8, which I don't put much weight into that, but they said the main story alone took 65 hours. So I'm very excited. I do plan on playing that a little bit on stream.
You cannot give me shit for Persona if you're playing a 65-hour game. I mean, granted, well, Persona 5 is like 100 and something, but, you know, that's...
And you've played it through multiple times. Like, I'll play this through one time. I'll get all the job stuff. Like, I'll get 100% clear the first time.
Yeah.
Because I haven't gone back and played Bravely Default or Bravely Second.
Interesting.
I own them, but, like... I've never really gone back to them. Yeah. More like a one and done experience, which is totally fine. I don't have a.
Oh,
I'm getting a dollar an hour for an experience. It's fine.
I am totally down with the one and done experience, gameplay experience. I mean, that's basically what I do, except for like a few handpicked games.
We tried doing Monster Hunter.
Oh, God. And
just PS5, Elgato, cords, they are just not cooperating with us, and it just turned into a shenanigans. We promise you that next Wednesday we will have a Monster Hunter stream.
Yeah.
We do apologize. I do not know what happened last night outside of Justin was getting very angry.
Oh, I was getting told him, like, furious. It wasn't worth it. Yeah, I don't know. It was like something between like audio. like audio would work, but then party chat wouldn't, but then party chat wouldn't work, and then audio wouldn't either, and then it was this whole fucking thing. And like, we have the chat link that you need with the Elgato.
Oh yeah, I bought the cord, like the Elgato branded stuff.
Yeah, god damn it. So we're gonna take basically the week to figure it out.
We will probably get together Tuesday night, make sure we can get it going. Yes. So that for Wednesday,
and then just fucking leave it and then
don't touch it. Exactly. And then what else? I started playing the lottery. We've been watching My Lottery Dream Home on HGTV.
Hey, that's how you gotta do
it
though.
And it's like $2 a week, you know. Right now the pot's 107 million, so if Justin and I start sounding really good, it's because I bought a recording studio. But we aren't there yet. So pray for me, and if you want to, you can head on over to Patreon and help fund my habit. Just kidding. All the money on Patreon goes to the show.
Well, that's that would be going to the show, though.
Oh, it would be going. It would be a reinvestment. It's kind of like when Ryan went up to Pam and was like, "But if you gave me $100 now, I'll give you $1,000 later." Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. Like I said, we are getting stood up has definitely thrown me off my rhythm. So, Justin, if you have nothing else, I'm good. Let's hop in.
Oh, yeah. Here's the music. Sorry.
It's okay.
That was a quick cutoff. I thought I'd edit it better, but nope, here we are.
Oh, I was all prepared for like you to like give me the count in. Okay, Silent Hill Origins. Justin, actually, I gotta update the score sheets while I'm doing that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it before I hop into Whitney's notes?
Yeah, absolutely. So, kind of how we've covered the lack of the third person here that we were gonna have, we've kind of Whitney saved our asses basically, and she sent in a bunch
of
stuff
without even knowing she did.
Yeah, without even knowing it, she did. She's just Whitney, you're amazing. Thank you. So I'm just gonna give the base kind of basic details here, and then we're gonna actually let Whitney give us the in-depth stuff. So Silent Hill Origins is a survival horror video game, and it was developed for the PlayStation Portable. It was developed by Climax Action, who would actually go on to make the Wii, I think it came out on Wii first, yes, Wii version of the remake of one, Silent Hill Shattered Memories. Actually, I haven't played Shattered Memories. Other than that, Climax, I kind of looked over to their catalog, I guess you could say, and I didn't really find anything else of interest. But Silent Hill Origins came out originally on the PlayStation Portable in November of 2007, and then was later ported to the PlayStation 2 version in March of 2008. I did find some sales numbers, so this is going to be kind of interesting. So these are all rough because we don't actually know the specific. Konami has never given us specific sales.
That's because Konami is a factory of sales.
we'll get there. Just you wait. Apparently, Silent Hill Origins has sold around 500,000 copies, which isn't really a lot. So I went and tried to figure out how many sales the Silent Hill series in total has had. And Konami has given us that number. As of December 2018, Silent Hill, the franchise, has sold 9 million units. To put that in perspective, around that same time, Resident Evil 5 had just passed 11 million units sold.
There's no way the sales are that low. There's no way.
That's the last time they have said it, and that was in around, like, basically the start of 2019. So that's only 2 years.
I know I didn't play it, and I've told that story before why I didn't play it when I was growing up. But like, everybody I knew had it. Like, everybody had Silent Hill and Silent Hill 2.
Well, that's the thing, is that is where most of those sales are from the first four games. And then after that, it's just a big, taper off, basically.
Wow. Insane. Okay. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. And I figure that we can really leave the rest up to Whitney because she covered it all, really.
So again, we were going to do a 6 a.m. plot summary from our guest. He's not here. But Whitney provided us a wonderful email. In this email, it has a lot of in-depth game development along with a plot summary and her thoughts. And so we're going to kind of change it. There will be no plot summary. We're going to reread it. Wow, English. We are going to read Whitney's email at the front and kind of go from there.
And just a heads up before we read it. Thank you, Whitney, for saving my lungs because I don't think I could do a 60-second plot summary right now.
Hi, guys. So I wasn't the biggest fan of Silent Hill Origins when it came out. I mainly just thought it was okay, though I did love some of the throwbacks to the original game. It was great seeing Coon Street with some updated graphics. Also, I'd be lying if I didn't say I found it hilarious that Travis can keep like 30 TVs in his back pocket. I grew more appreciative of the game, however, once I learned more about the game's turbulent development history. It really could have been a whole lot worse. You wanted a long email, Larry, so here's one with a bunch of information I was able to cobble together regarding the game's weird development for my Origins episode of Voices in the Static, episode number 33. It was quite a ride, and we will include links to this in the show notes.
Absolutely.
The game began development at Climax LA in Santa Monica with an initial release date of winter 2006, but by September 2006, things were not looking good due to mounting problems with the game's engine and, quote, a confused high-level vision for the game. Konami was on the verge of scrapping the entire project altogether, but luckily, Climax Studios, based in Portsmouth, England, were able to convince Konami at the end of October to let them take the project over and turn it around. The team were told that they could, but they had to do it within the same time and budget, which was easier said than done given the state of the original version of the game was in. According to a 2009 post by a former Climax Studio employee, going by the handle of Grom, on a Something Awful forum thread about the then upcoming Shattered Memories release, Climax only had 6 months production time between receipt of the project from Climax LA to bring it to Alpha, with only the completed FMVs in a partial town model. Sam Barlow, the game's lead designer, said in a February 2014 Edge magazine interview that he was able to rewrite the script, redesign the levels, and remake all the creatures within just 1 week, which is pretty impressive. According to Grom, one issue they had with reworking the story was that all the game's FMVs from the start and the end were already completed by an outside company, and there wasn't enough time nor budget to redo them. The best the team could do was make minor cosmetic edits and recut what was already made to fit their new narrative. Everything new story-wise, like Travis's backstory, had to be told via in-game cutscenes. He also said that the game was rushed at the end, and the team literally had no time for balance, which is why you end up with 50 portable TVs by the end of the game, which was kind of humorous though. I got to admit, it made scrolling through the inventory for a particular weapon quite a chore. I don't know about you guys, but I usually just use my fists. We'll talk about this in gameplay. I ran from everything. This is not Dark Souls. There is no punishment. I ran. Another weird thing he mentioned was that the game's inner game's timer code was also busted, and it stopped updating when players looked at the map, inventory, or any game objects. As a result, most people's playthrough time displayed on the end screen were quote, little as half the actual time spent playing, giving the rise to a lot of reviews saying it's only a 3-hour game with like 5. That makes sense, because my end time was like 2 hours and 15 minutes, but I know I played more than that.
Yeah, same.
Because I played on PSP. What did you play on? I played PSP.
Oh, I played on PSP, like on my PC.
That's right. So just what was so bad about the original version of the story? Barlow described the initial game as bizarre and said that it was supposed to be a dark comedy, and someone said Scrubs was an inspiration. Oh my lord. Which sounds honestly really bad, and apparently Climax UK thought so too, believing it would be a disaster with the hardcore fan base it released. Yes. Love Scrubs. Love Silent Hill. Don't want those mixed in the same pot together.
Although I will say, not a Silent Hill game, but I think like a horror dark comedy game could work, but not Silent Hill.
Yeah. Andrew Borman, who has access to design documents, scripts, and even early demos, has been documenting Climax LA's original version on his YouTube channel, P2P Online, past and present online, the last few years, so we can see how different the original game's story was, though I haven't really seen the Scrubs influence very much in the interview. There's a YouTube link. I will include that as well. I actually looked at this. It looks like Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, I looked at it as well, actually. So,
in Climax LA's version, Travis Grady is forced to stop his truck on the outskirts of Silent Hill by Mr. Twilight, a mysterious cloaked figure wearing a mask with two faces standing in the middle of the road. Mr. Twilight flees when he spots Alessa approaching with a shitload of fog behind her. Travis is engulfed within the fog, and he wakes up in a hospital room with Alessa, who's on the other side of the mirror within the other world. She promises to help Travis escape town if he will help her find four sides of a bronze pyramid that's scattered throughout the town, which is pretty much the same as the fetch quest Travis goes through in the final product.
Yeah.
One is located in decayed and fire-damaged hotel, another is in the Doyle Asylum for the Disturbed, where apparently Dahlia Gillespie has been committed. Borman didn't go into why, just that she was there. And it's also where Dr. Kaufman's research lab is located, where he's studying White Claudia and the drugs linked to supernatural occurrences. The third piece is in the Orpheum Theater that was partially inspired by, I think, a set in the 2006 Silent Hill film. Again, how it was inspired wasn't elaborated on in Borman's video. And the last piece was found in a meal packing plant protected by a supernatural butcher. Meatpacking plant. Sorry. According to design document, Travis must survive traps, clash with the supernatural, and decipher puzzles in order to break down the barrier separating the two worlds before he can retrieve a pyramid piece for Alessa. He had to also deal with very generic monsters from what I saw, including skeletal bellhops, asylum patients, and undead miners. Eventually, Travis releases Alessa from the other world, and by doing so, unleashes her nightmare onto the town of Silent Hill. Borman describes that Travis is like a pawn in an elaborate game between a vengeful Alessa, Dahlia, and the cult, who wish to bring forth a holy apocalypse. While that is going on, he also has to confront the memory of his dead father and figure out who Mr. Twilight is. Borman didn't go into specifics about Travis's past in his video, so I have no idea how much was repurposed in the final version of Origins. Apparently, one of the big goals of the original story was to help explain how the alternate realities we see in the other games came to be. Which is weird because that's something I really thought. Which is weird because that's not something I really thought I needed an explanation. The town is full of spooky magic, and the shit that happened with Alessa just made the spookiness exponentially stronger. That's actually I'm going to talk about in plot is I liked this game, but again, we'll save this when we talk about the plot discussion. I thought like when Alessa gave birth to the whatever,
it was weird.
That was when the other world was created.
Oh, we'll get into it. Yeah, I
okay.
Yeah, well, I'll say, I'm trying to save for then. Yeah, okay.
Okay, cool. Travis was supposed to find an object called the Eye of Samael that players would use as a mirror to defile a room. So essentially, a mirror would show a decayed otherworld version of a room, and I assume whatever is seen within the mirror, the eye would then transfer it into the room Travis is in via the object. In later levels, this defilement also spread to other surrounding rooms, opening new pathways to explore. Remember Mr. Twilight, the dude that Travis hit with the truck? Once Travis gathers the pieces and Alessa's nightmare takes over the town, he makes it to the cult's lair via old mining tunnels. The lair itself is huge and carved within the rocks of the mountains, which explains why it's so large in the final game for being hidden under the Green Lion Antiques. Once he's there, Travis is finally able to unmask Mr. Twilight and sees it was Dr. Kaufman the entire time. Kaufman throws White Claudia in Travis's face, and Travis ends up doing battle with Floris within his mind, and then seal his power within the Bronze Pyramid, which matches up with the final game's climax and final battle. Grom mentioned in his post on Something Awful that the team was at least able to, and I quote, take out the ridiculous scream mask which had been given to the cultists in the FMV. Hey, Whitney, Ghostface is awesome.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't, you know.
The endings are pretty similar to ones we got in the final game, which makes sense. We know Climax UK can only do so much to edit them. In the good ending, Travis finds his truck and leaves town while Alessa leaves Cheryl at an orphanage. That was the ending I got.
Yeah, I think that's actually the default ending you get on your first playthrough, no matter what.
Oh, well, way to make me feel bad.
Oh, sorry.
In the common ending, Travis wakes in a hospital room surrounded by empty syringes, coated with White Claudia. He spots a newborn next to the charred body of Alessa, whose spirit then grabs a child and while leaving the room reveals to Travis that he's been murdering the town citizens In a white Claudia drug-induced haze, Travis goes crazy and becomes Pyramid Head. This is pretty much the bad ending of the final game, but Travis becomes the Butcher and we don't see Alessa or a baby, but do get a flash of people screaming and dying at Travis's hand. In the bad ending, which is kind of funny, it's the bad one because it's not as dark as the common one I just described. Travis wakes in the hospital surrounded by coated syringes once again, but this time his body shakes and he dies while Mr. Twilight watches and takes notes behind a mirror. The UFO ending seemed pretty fun. In one version, the game was going to be just a nightmare Solid Snake from Metal Gear was having on a night, while another version had Travis asking aliens for a jump start. They shoot him with a ray gun, capture him, and fly off.
I would take, like, I don't know, the Silent or the Solid Snake one actually sounds really fucking funny.
Over on R Silent Hill last year, a Redditor by the name of Tex Murph had gotten a chance to talk with Sam Barlow, and he shared with the community a few more tidbits on how Climate UK were able to control the project. Apparently, Konami had approved of Climax LA's initial dark humor version of the game for many months, which kind of explains why the FMBs were already finalized before the majority of the game was made. This also lines up with what Grom had said back in 2009 over on Something Awful forums. He said that while the LA team was behind schedule, it wasn't really their fault because the milestones dictated that the story had to be worked out first, even though there was no game to go with it. Konami was all in until people within Barlow's own circle saw the project, were horrified in a bad way, pushed for a more senior member of Konami to take a closer look. As a result, Barlow's team at Climax UK was given the green light to revamp. Apparently, we were also originally supposed to learn the origin of Pyramid Head within the game as well, though Borman says he couldn't find this dialogue or scene in the documentation. He has, so take that with a grain of salt. Pyramid Head was going to be a chef who apparently started to chop up and eat people, and over a time attached bits of metal to his head. He would even say Evil Dead-esque dark humor dialogue like, "I love the way human eyeballs pop." Barlow also told Tex Murph that when Climax UK took over, Konami had insisted Pyramid Head needed to stay in, and that Butcher character was actually a compromise to get Pyramid Head out. Though Borman disputes, saying that while Pyramid Head was mentioned in early design documents, he was out of the picture before Climax UK got control. So yeah, just knowing the game was pulled from the brink of disaster, rebuilt for a mere 6 months from release, has really changed my perception over it over the years. I shudder to think of the fandom's reaction over the initial idea, Whitney. I'm going to drink some water. So Justin, will you just fill in the, because she did obviously an amazing job, what actually happened in the story?
Oh, damn. Okay. So, I mean, Travis goes to town and you save Alessa's body from a burning house. You wake up in the hospital. Oh my God, this is all while I'm sick now. Fuck. And then you go through the hospital and you fight your... Who do you fight? Is that where you fight your mother? No. Who the fuck do you fight?
You fight your mother in the insane asylum.
Yeah, who do you fight
in the... Basically, the story is very similar. Hospital. It's about Travis. He's finding the four pieces to the Flowerus.
Yeah.
You go to the hospital, the insane asylum, the theater, and then the motel.
Who do you fight in the motel hospital?
Motel is the dad.
Yeah.
Theater is that bullet sponge.
Oh,
the insane asylum is your mom, and then just another random monster at the hospital.
I thought it was somebody of significance in the hospital.
I don't think it was.
Interesting. Okay.
Maybe it was, but yeah. I doesn't that the two of them is mother in the insane asylum and father at the motel. And then the final boss fights against the demon. So for plot.
Yes.
I'm kind of two minds about it.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this game. we'll get into gameplay and audio, but if people recall, go back and listen to it. I did not like Silent Hill 4.
Yes, that's very true.
I really did not care for it. But plot-wise, I feel like this was more in tone with 1, 2, and 3. I think the fact that Team Konami was not a part of the development had two major problems for plot, though. One, it is not canonic with what we have found previously. There are things that are different that just don't make sense. Like I mentioned while I was reading Whitney's email, it doesn't make sense that Travis can, we'll talk about the gameplay, that Travis can just access the other world.
Yeah.
Because the other world hasn't been made yet, because Alessa hasn't given birth to Cheryl.
So for me, I mean, you find it even in the notes that I think it was Gillespie, or it might have been your mother. I'm kind of mixing the two up right now really badly in my head. But one of them could actually hear the voices from the other world through the mirrors, which is why you can in turn go through the mirrors.
Yeah, but I still think the other world wasn't created. At least maybe someone can let us know like in an email later on, but I'm pretty sure the other world wasn't created until Alessa gave birth to Cheryl.
Oh, see, for me, the way I took it is that like there has always been this other world, mm-hmm. and Alessa was kind of our world being was dying, and yeah. her other world was okay, but couldn't really go into our world. The way I took it as is that basically Travis brought the demonized version, if you will, of Alessa into our world, and she kind of brought more of the other world. Like, she brought the ability to control the other world with her.
Okay, that actually makes me like it a little bit more. So okay, I appreciate that.
The little baby thing was still kind of funny. But the ending was just kind of a joke to me. I will say it is cool to kind of... It was nice to go back to Silent Hill, because I feel like that is... 4 was...
I'm oddly going to save that for gameplay.
Okay, we'll save that for gameplay. But, okay, then plot-wise... yeah, I agree with you. I think there are, I mean, positives and negatives with Team mm-hmm. Kanabi not developing it. Personally, I would have liked to have seen them come back. I'm pretty sure we all would, but obviously that's not going to happen.
Like I said, I enjoyed this game, and I know the ones coming have gotten a really bad rap, but this one was supposed to be like the start of the downfall, and I had a good time.
I was very, like... middled, I guess, about this game.
Dying PSP.
Yeah, I don't know. There was just, it was nice to get back to Silent Hill, but there was also like a lot of like, I feel like they kind of relied a little bit too much on like, hey, this is what Silent Hill is. This is kind of the steps you go through in a Silent Hill game. They kind of like stayed to the formula too much, I think.
And see, I think that's more of a gameplay discussion.
Well, see, it is, but I'm trying to figure out a way how to... The plot in this game is very middling to me, but it's because it doesn't
do... So do you want to know my biggest problem with plot?
Absolutely.
In Silent Hill 2,
yes.
I know that, like, I'm apparently... Most people like Silent Hill 2. My favorite is the original. But in Silent Hill 2, there was the big revelation that James was having this mental break. Like, he was figuring out something about his dark past.
Yes.
And I feel like 3 kind of gets a pass because it was, like, tying into the first game and all that stuff. So, like, I give that one kind of pass. 4 was the same thing. Like, trying to figure out some deep, dark secret. And now it's this one, too. And it's, like, Silent Hill has, like... Like, the other world and all its permutations and everything that goes into it, I feel like there's so many available routes or options for a story to go. It really confuses me as to why we are focused on this same kind of narrative development. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that is because that is why this is kind of the downfall to Silent Hill. Because, I mean... This is the story of Silent Hill throughout the entire series. It's the same thing over and over. Yeah, well, exactly. It could be a lot of cool things. Like, I get the whole idea of people are going there to basically confront themselves and kind of figure out their sins and all that stuff. But it feels at this point, this is the 4th game. sorry, 5th game we've played of Silent Hill. And it just, at this point, it just kind of feels like done already, and then
at least the other ones, the monsters like kind of tied in to the demons we're confronting. In this one, they aren't. They're like even the mother design really doesn't have anything, and even the father design really doesn't have anything tied into like what he's confronting. And I'm sorry, the butcher was absolutely meant to be Pyramid Head.
Oh yeah, it's like your dollar store general Pyramid Head, really. Yeah,
that is baby Pyramid Head right there.
And I mean,
make it a suit, Dead by Daylight, you cowards.
And I mean, that's kind of, again, where the start of the downfall of Silent Hill starts, really, is because now they start relying too much on, you know what people really loved about that Silent Hill 2 that people talk about constantly? Pyramid Head. Okay, let's have our own version of Pyramid Head. He has to be in this game.
It's crazy. Pyramid Head's only been in one game so far, and that before I started playing it, he was the only thing I knew about the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically like him and Robbie. Is it Robbie? Robbie? Yeah. Are basically like the poster childs for this game.
Yeah, so that's kind of my thoughts on plot, is that like there does seem to be some inconsistencies across the canon, which happens when you don't have the same team doing it. Like that's just, that is going to happen. And with how it sounds like Konami was very hands-off, like no shit that happened. But like I said, my biggest complaint, and it's a big complaint, but like I did enjoy this, so I don't want to make it sound too bad, is that I don't think I'm going to get my wish. But I want to see different stories looked at in the realm of Silent Hill.
I agree. I think that's why it's really... I think that's why you saw the Silent Hill fandom get so excited about the Hideo Kojima Silent Hills, because you really feel that, damn, if this is just a teaser for the game, who knows? Like it already feels like it was different enough from any other Silent Hill game we've played.
It felt like a Resident Evil 7 kind of reboot.
Exactly. And I think that got people really excited.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And we've seen that like you could have success kind of breaking from the mold. Like it looks like Village, like 7 barely touched on Umbrella. And it looks like Village is kind of staying away from it too. Like as long as it's... I think these games are more about a gameplay and a feeling, and like that's what you're trying to go for. Do you know what I mean? But like the audience will go with you if you take chances, and they won't if you play it safe, which is why Resident Evil 6 was trash.
And again, I'm gonna bring this up again, that is why Silent Hill really starts to go downhill, because they refuse to change.
Yeah.
And it really, like, I mean, we're 5 games in, and like you said, it's kind of the plot. You're kind of, you know what you're getting now.
Yep.
And, I mean, they play it safe for the rest of the series, which is why each one just gets kind of more, not boring. Boring is the wrong word, but like...
Repetitive.
Repetitive, yes. You don't see anything new, and it sucks.
Yeah. So for plot, I did give it a higher score than 3 because 3 killed my boy Harry Mason off screen. I gave it a 6.5. How about you, Justin?
I gave it a 5. I was very split down the middle. I mean, like I said, it was nice to kind of have those things happen in Silent Hill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like, I mean, Silent Hill, the town is a character. And it felt nice to be back with that character for the most part. But I don't know. It didn't do anything new. Like you said, things felt off a little bit and done already, really. Like, there's nothing new. And plus, so, we didn't need an origin story for Silent Hill because we already know the fucking origin story.
That doesn't bother me. I know some people get upset by that, but for me, like, I don't mind if you do it, but, like, you can do that kind of stuff. Like, you called it origin, so it's going to be obvious. But, like, there are some, like, books and movies and stuff that are, that are origins and you don't know it. Like, about, like, Prometheus.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. But, and here's the thing. Like, I agree. I think even going on Silent Hill Origins, I think it could have been great. But you have to do it correctly. You can't just say... I mean, granted, they weren't given a lot of time.
Team 6 months before release is probably...
Exactly.
How you don't do that.
Exactly.
So, on that note, let's go to gameplay. Like I said, I played this on my original PSP. People know I tried to stream it, and it doesn't emulate well, and I got embarrassed, so I never even tried it again. So I just played it on my original PSP, and dude, you can tell they designed it for it. It played so smooth.
Yeah.
It was so good on the PSP. I loved it.
I mean, I emulated the PSP because I do not have one. I just use like a PS4 controller hooked up to my PC.
Okay.
And I mean, it played really nice as well. Like, it's, I that's the thing is, I think, like, Silent Hill games, yes, they're tank controls. Yes, you have the AWG issue with
it. Wait, pause. I have to stop you. Okay. There are not tank controls in this game. And that is actually a con I have. I have to give it a con for not having tank controls. And do you know why?
Why is that?
Because they have fixed angles, and the controller doesn't stay stuck. So if you're going straight and the camera angle switches, your direction will switch. I can't tell you how many times I get stuck in an alley trying to
dodge just kind of like,
again, I don't fight things because there aren't tank controls. So if you're going to do that, you either have to have like memory when you go to different areas, or you have to have the tank controls.
Oh, see, for me,
sorry to stop you.
No, that's
sorry
okay.
to stop you, but there were no tank controls, and it fucked me.
It felt like tank controls for me.
I promise you, dude, they were not tank controls.
Oh, yeah. It's a fully 3D tank controls is what it's called here on the internet.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, it's not tank controls. And you can look at how many times I guess they didn't stream it, but how many times I got caught in a corner.
But no, I agree. I mean, again, I think the gameplay, it feels smooth to play and like aim and hit and all that stuff, personally. Except for, again, the camera angles. The fucking camera angles are some of the worst.
I figured out, because, again, I run from everything. So we're gonna talk about the melee combat and stuff.
Okay.
But I told you before the Caliban fight.
Yes.
Because I was ahead of you. Because you weren't feeling well. And I played it in, like, a Saturday afternoon, laying on my couch with it plugged in because my battery's on its last legs. When you were shooting, if you pushed L1, at least on my, or the left trigger on the PSP, it would change your orientation so you're looking forward. So as long as you did that, then aimed, you hit every single time. So I found that out with the Caliban fight. The camera wouldn't move with me, so I had to keep doing that. But once I figured it out, it was pretty smooth. I liked that. I mean, this helps me for being a wimp, but like there was no real range. The shotgun blast did much damage if you were far away than if you were close. I appreciated that they punished people like me who run from stuff in survival horror games with that kind of grab mechanic that goes into the QTE.
QTEs.
Sometimes I felt it was abusive. Like sometimes I feel like those things latched on to me from like across the room at times.
I really only felt that way with two things. First, I think they're called double backs.
Which one are those?
They like crawl on the floor and they got legs up in the air.
Okay.
I think you find them in the motels when you first come into them. Is that mm-hmm. when you first meet them? And then the things in the theater that hang from the ceiling.
Those ones messed me up bad.
Yeah.
I went into the Caliban fight with no health because of those things.
Oh my god.
That's all I was saying. Like, I feel like they teleported across the room. Yeah. But even with that being said, I think that is a fine mechanic because I know there are a lot of people, speedrunners, as I was going to ask Jake about this, because I watch a lot of Resident Evil speedruns, and I know, like, from my own knife only run, when you do that stuff and you try to go fast, the whole goal is just dodge it.
Yeah.
And there's no grab mechanics. So if you time it right, you can just move and shake past them. So I actually thought that was a really good mechanic to implement in a survival horror game, because then it's like, hey, you can run by this stuff, but they can like latch you. Like there is a system that they can just leech onto you, and you don't have to deal with that. So even though it did frustrate me, I think it was something that kind of kept me honest. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Kind of, I guess, to include with that, one thing that I don't know if it annoyed me. Yes, it did. That's a lie. It completely fucking annoyed me. Is sometimes I found that things would not die unless you sat there and after you down them, you like go over in front and on top of them and
but
do
that's
like
how the, that's how all the games were, weren't they?
No,
again, I fought very rarely.
No, I feel like there are some enemies that really just like I felt like did not die, like would not die. Blow after blow after blow after blow until
like me, buddy, just run by them.
No, I can't do that. I gotta engage with the enemies. Kind of on the same vein, I actually want to talk about creature design.
Okay. Before that,
okay.
There's one more thing I want to talk about, kind of like gameplay before we get to creature design that is important to talk about.
Yes.
And we need to end on the set.
Okay.
The town of Silent Hill.
Okay.
Let's talk about all of the melee weapons.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The filing cabinet, that one?
Huh?
The filing cabinet, the TV, the radio, the...
So I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
There were so many of them. They break and there's no repair system. And that was actually what stopped me from using it because, like, when I found the katana and it broke, it's like, I wish I could repair it instead of having a bunch of other things. It's cool you have all these options, but again, when I can run from stuff, when things grab me, as long as I hit the QTEs, which, spoiler alert, I messed up a couple times, like, there's no real punishment. Like, I stopped using it, and I just saved all my ammo for boss fights. So, I thought it was cool. I thought it was kind of more immersive, more like a, what was the, Dead Island? Was that the one where, like, you pick a bunch of stuff and you can, like, make them together, like zombies.
Yeah.
I did like that. I just think it could have been implemented in a better way.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like things broke maybe a little too easily, almost like...
I felt like the katana lasted like five swings.
Like, if you remember the start of Breath of the Wild where all your weapons broke in like a couple hits, that is really... It really felt like Breath of the Wild where everything would break really quickly. But the problem is later on in Breath of the Wild, things kind of lasted a little longer. But this game, it didn't. They all felt like they lasted so little. And I feel like you need to have, like you mentioned, the katana. I think that's like...
There's some kind of permanent weapon.
There needs to be, even if it's like a special weapon, right? Like a special, this is Silent Hill, so we need to have this weapon in here.
Yeah.
Have that be unlimited. Or have like a shitty little, like I get it, your fists are unlimited, but like, have it like a knife or something like interesting, but no, I was very like, the weapons break. This is going to suck.
Like I said, once they got the ammo, like, and got the guns, like the shotgun and the revolver, and then the assault rifle, like there was, again, I run from common enemies and I knew as soon as I got to that final boss fight that I had like 20 rounds of revolver and like 80 rounds of assault rifle that I was going to be fine.
Yeah, I will say the throwing system sucks. I hate it. Oh, I fucking hate it. It's what you do with like the TVs and stuff like that. It takes too long and the damage input is so small. I think it was like a
scream situation where you smash it over Stu's face.
No, you literally sit there and aim it like you do a gun and have to like pull back.
Are you serious?
Throw, yeah.
Oh, I'm happy.
Well, you don't actually like pull back, but like there's kind of like a ready animation. And then you throw it, but you're kind of like stuck there for a second while he throws it. Well, it just takes too much time.
And when they can latch on to you for QTE, I'm sure that works real well.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
All right, so you went about feature design before we talk about set.
Yeah, everything was like really shiny.
The nurses had obnoxious breasts.
And the horses had obnoxious butts.
Didn't notice that.
The first time I came across like the half dead horse things, I walked into a room and it was just a shiny ass in front of me, and I was very confused.
The first cut scene with the nurse, and it was just like the movie obnoxious level. It's like, oh, all right, come on.
Yeah, they are at this point. They are basically there for sex appeal,
which is such a shame because originally they were included for whore.
Yeah,
and Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, though, I mean, I think we get kind of reused. I don't know if it's the exact same skin, but the, like, straight jacket-looking people, they remind me of the guys from...
Everything except for the nurses felt similar but different, if that makes sense.
I will say I did enjoy the invisible box guys from the asylum, just because I won't lie, at first I thought it was like a glitch.
Mm-hmm.
Until I think actually it was Jake who said, no, that's just what they look like. I thought that was kind of like a cool idea, like, oh, you can't really see what's attacking you, like, well, I wonder what they look like. But other than that, I'm trying to think, the horses were kind of cool, how they kind of dragged the front end around.
Yeah. The ones that charged you sucked.
Yeah. The two backs were cool. Obviously referencing the Beast of Two Backs with two backs. Caliban, and immediately after.
Yeah. He's everywhere.
Like fucking everywhere.
In that final sprint to the antique shop, it was like he was like every single corner. It sucked.
Yeah, I don't like the look of him. He just kind of looks like...
And I don't like using bosses as, like, a common encounter.
See, I think it's okay, like, if, let's say, you fight the first boss, and then maybe, like, closer to the end, he becomes kind of not super common, but, like, he is around. There's a couple of them. But, like you said, Caliban is everywhere. Literally, maybe 5 minutes after you beat him.
Yeah, he's all over that motel, and it's all over the final run.
Oh, God, it's so fucking frustrating. But I guess the Satan was kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
Me. Yeah, but I don't know. Nothing really, like, stood out. I feel like every other Silent Hill has had something that, like, really stood out.
And the Butcher may have if we didn't already have Pyramid Head, because he literally felt like baby Pyramid Head.
Yeah, he was Dollar Store General Pyramid Head. Like, it felt cheap. That I feel like that was, I mean, it was there for cheap.
I think it would have been better done if they had done something after you fight him where it became clear he was going to become Pyramid Head.
Yeah, but then, like,
I wish they hadn't included it. But I'm saying if he was going to be there, it would have been better if they had at least done that.
Yeah, okay, I can agree with that. But yeah, I mean, that's all I really have to say about Creature Design. It was okay, but I don't think it was, like, it was definitely not the best.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just kind of meh.
The town of Silent Hill and the locales we visit during this playthrough.
Yep.
Honestly, especially after the room, and I mentioned this in 3, I really didn't care for 3 too much.
Yeah.
Especially his treatment of the town of Silent Hill. Wow. It felt like seeing an old friend again. It really did. It felt wonderful. It felt cool going on the streets. I liked how the map updated and, like, you found dead ends and there was little alleyways and, like, seeing some things. And I really felt that was nailed for me.
Well, and it even had, didn't it have a child's drawing as one of the maps again? For
the,
like,
final stretch.
Yeah, which was, like, a nice callback to 3. And I think that when it leans on things like that, that is a nice callback. That is, and I mean, it's cool. It's part of the game, and it implements itself really nicely. And I mean, mostly I agree with you. But I feel like in 2 and 1 we had a better Silent Hill still.
Yep.
Well, I don't know, but it was nice to go back and actually, like, be in Silent Hill.
So for gameplay, I gave it a 6.5 again. Like I said, it was better than middling, and I thought for the PSP, especially knowing the background development, I think it's really impressive.
Yeah, I gave it a 6. I mean, it was okay. Wasn't anything outstanding, but it was okay.
So audio. The soundtrack's awesome again.
Yeah, well, exactly.
100%. Like the I thought the monster sounds were pretty good. I didn't notice anything obnoxious like in 4. What was one of 4 that sounded like? Was it a farting monster?
It was the burping monster. The
burping monster, that's right. Nothing like that. I thought Travis's voice actor was pretty good. I thought all the voice actors were pretty good.
Yeah.
But even with that being said, there was no performances that kind of stood out. Like, even with how I felt about Cheryl's performance, like, I thought that was kind of memorable. I definitely think that both James and Harry's performances are really memorable back in the day.
I mean, I would even go with, I personally like Dr. Kaufman in the first one more than I do in this one. I mean, we don't really get a lot of
Alessa in this one, which is kind of a bummer. We get some of Mama Gillespie. I do like the final voice message that we got about Harry and them picking up.
Yeah.
Cheryl. Oh. I thought that was pretty cool.
I did like that we got more of Lisa Garland.
Yes, but her character was, like, kind of turned
fucking weird. Yeah.
Like, not bad, not good, just weird. And, like off from, like, what her character was in the first game.
It almost felt like this, her character was maybe what was left over from the dark comedy.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
But like I said, like, this is, again, just like, for me, it was more of the great Silent Hill music, so I'm not giving it any special props. Similar to when we review the Hallway movies, like, Carpenter made the original score. you all get to keep using it because it was awesome, but you're not going to get any bonus points for using that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for me, again, it's middling. I'm giving the same score again, 6.5 for me for audio. Like, it's just good but not great.
I mean, I'm right there with you. I also gave it a 6.5 just because, like you said, it's good, but it's, you know, it's kind of, we're used to it now, right? Like, yeah.
So how scary? Have you played this before?
I have when it first came out on PS2, so 2008. I can't do math right now. What, like
13 years? Sorry, I just yawned. 13 years.
13 years ago. So I don't fucking remember what I did last week, let alone 13 years ago.
Okay. So for me, it's hard. My favorite Silent Hill is the first one. We've discussed this before. And in the first one, I feel like the scares really came from, like, atmosphere and the town and running from stuff. And then the second one, which I also liked a lot, the scares in that one came from that psychological journey we're going on with James.
Yeah.
We've gone on this journey before. I don't really feel a connection to Travis because he feels like I never died. Oh, wait, I think I died one time to Caliban because I got too close to it. And like I said, the mannequins fucked me up in the theater. So I was running in there with low health. But like, there was never really any threat. I was never really concerned. The save system I thought was really nice and forgiving. Like, there was always a save point before a big encounter area. I appreciate, especially with no autosave functionality. I think the reason why my house scary score could be lower because it is a better Silent Hill game. It's like a 1, 2, and 3, not a 4 for me. But the fact that the other world is an option to go to,
yeah,
kind of takes it away. Instead of being trapped, you kind of go back and forth. Granted, there are enemies in both sides, so it's not like you can like escape the enemies and like kind of recover. But I feel like the other world is meant more of like, especially if you're going to do this like fucking dive into a character's psyche, like it shouldn't be controllable. Like if you're diving into this dude's shit, like it should be like, oh crap, I just remembered, and then you're into it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of being a decision that you get to go and like try to open a different pathway.
Yeah.
So for me, that annoys me. I did find it, I don't even know if I found it scarier than The Room. Because that was the best part about The Room. I don't know if I found it as scary as The Room. It's going to be kind of a judgment call when I give it a score. Because that we reviewed that during quarantine. And like, let me tell you about how I felt with my fucking apartment during that last summer. So I don't know. I guess for me, the biggest kind of takeaway I have for it is the idea of Silent Hill is scary. The monster design that they implement is scary. The other world is scary. But when you keep doing the same thing, it rapidly stops being scary.
I mean, I kind of completely agree with everything you said. Like, it was... The first and second one to me... I'll include 3, because I really do enjoy 3. 1, 2, and 3 to me are like this nice, tight-knit package that kind of has it all.
Correct.
4 is when you know, it has its moments, but mostly it kind of loses it a little bit.
It has its moments, you're right.
Yeah. But and
the gameplay is so shit.
But well, that's the problem with this one is I think this one is like peppered with things that could be scary. Mm-hmm. But again, we've seen them in the rest of the series.
Yes.
It doesn't have any standout moments of like holy shit. Like when I think of Silent Hill, I think about James being stuck in the closet when Pyramid Head is in the room
raping the mannequin.
Yeah, like shit like that.
Or the first Silent Hill when you get attacked by the dog the first time. That is something that I will never forget. Or when you're doing the puzzle in that hallway. You don't talk about it's like right before the final boss encounter, and then if you put the thing into the door, you die.
Oh yeah. Or like in the first one when you're going through like the alley when you first start.
Yes.
The mm-hmm. other world just happens.
And they mimic that in the movie, and they did a pretty good job in that first movie with that.
Yes, they did.
They're so iconic. Yeah.
And like, I think all of them have those moments, but this game doesn't. I really feel like this game doesn't. I mean, when you finally come to fight the Butcher, even that isn't
scary. It's anticlimactic as hell.
It's anticlimactic.
Not a fun really, like boss arena. Like you can straight
just kite him around. Straight,
you just kite him around, get to the end, lock onto him, shoot him a few times, do it again. Yeah.
And I mean, that's honestly, that's for me, that's why it's got a lower score, because it's just more of the same. It doesn't do anything really to try and outdo what has already been done in Silent Hill before.
All right. I gave it a 5.5, buddy.
I gave it a 4. Yeah. I mean, there's really, unfortunately, there is really not a lot to be said about it.
I gotcha. All right, then. Before I give the final score, a subgenre. It's got to be religion, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, let me type that in here. All right, perfect. For plot, I gave it a 6.5. Justin gave it a 5. For gameplay, I gave it a 6.5. Justin gave it a 6. For audio, we both gave it 6.5. So for how scary, I gave it a 5.5. Justin gave it a 4. The Here's Johnny final score is a 58. That slots it right on the master list, so games and movies, right below Halloween 2, which also has a 58%, and right above Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, which has a 56%. The video game above it, which also has a 58, is The Man of Medan.
Interesting. Where is Silent Hill 4 on that list?
It's very much lower. It's a 46.
Oh, boy. Yeah. What about Silent Hill 3?
It is 64.
Okay, good. Yeah.
And Silent Hill 1 and 2 are tied with a 78.
Yeah. Man, God.
I think when we finish playing all of the entries, we should have like a Silent Hill retrospective episode and kind of discuss all of it.
I agree 100%.
Actually, wait. Silent Hill, the film, has a 78%. I think maybe the original Silent Hill might be higher then.
I think it's got like an 80 or something. No, I don't, maybe a 79.
You put me on the spot.
Yeah, it's
okay. 80. You're right.
Yeah.
So the original Silent Hill is the highest rated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Just wait. Do you want me to tell you now or do you want me to tell you after the break?
We'll tell after the break. We'll recap what's coming up. Again, Whitney, thank you for your email. It really saved our asses, especially after getting stood up at the prom. And Justin, play that commercial from the Wizard Studies podcast, one of our family podcasts on Kaleidoscope Media Network, and we will head on into the closing.
Ghosts.
Split souls.
Monsters.
Sociopathic villains.
Cold-blooded murders.
And nightmares becoming reality.
Does this sound like horror to you? Actually, these are all things that can be found in the Harry Potter series.
It can be scarier than you might think.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Audrey.
And on our podcast, Wizard Studies, we talk about all these parts of the wizarding world and even some more lighthearted stuff.
We can be found anywhere you listen to your podcasts and on Instagram and Facebook as Wizard Studies Podcast and Twitter as Wizard Studies.
Now back to your regularly scheduled horror talk on Here's Johnny.
All right, guys. So, Justin.
Yes.
What is the next Silent Hill game for us?
I can't believe we're finally here. This, to me, I don't really remember the last one. So I believe...
Because there's three more, right?
Yes. So all being said, there's Homecoming, Shattered Memories. Mm-hmm. Which is a remake of one. Apparently.
Really?
I've never actually played it, but I've heard it's got a weird remakey thing, but apparently it's pretty good.
Okay.
And Downpour. We are going to play what I believe is the worst of the Silent Hill games. We are going to be playing Silent Hill Homecoming.
That's high praise.
Yeah.
So do you think, I haven't touched it. I did buy it, and you said, don't touch it, play the other ones first. So I do own it. Do you think, based on your knowledge of me, that I will like it more or less than 4?
Then 4, I think you'll like it.
Okay.
I will say it does. See, I'm starting because to
Origins second guess Origins felt like myself. A Silent Hill game, whereas 4 did not.
Yeah, I'm really starting to second guess myself on that worst, because I really think Downpour is the worst. Okay. But that there's a lot of bugs in Downpour. I don't know if that ever got taken out. I don't know, man. Silent Hill Homecoming, I just remember, is very Silent Hill. Let's just say that.
Okay.
But it's our first game in that. It'll be our first game in that kind of generation of consoles.
Okay.
It's for PS3, Xbox 360, and the PC. I believe you have it on PS3?
Yes. If I got it, it'd be on PS, actually, plus Sony. I guess only, until recently, it's the only console I owned.
Okay. Well, then, yeah. Yeah, so I believe I'm going to play it on Steam, just because it's easy to stream.
Perfect. So, what is next for us? So, next week, we have a yep. string of movies coming up, because the next game review is going to be The Sinking City. Justin and I will be playing that fully on stream, probably about 4 hours a week for each of us.
Yeah.
How Long to Beat says it's about 20 hours, so... if we get it done sooner, we'll probably review it sooner. But if not, no worries. But we're going to talk about people get ready for the summer and spring break. We're going to make you remember why you're afraid of the ocean. We're reviewing Jaws.
Excited. I haven't seen Jaws in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember much other than like the boat stuff. Like, that's in the all end.
I remember, because everything else is boring.
Oh no.
I'm going to get slaughtered next week. This is one of those ones I'm afraid about. I'm going to get torn apart.
Well, Matt, you hate the ocean, so I would love to hear your thoughts on... oh my God, Jaws. Holy fuck, I forgot that.
But it's all good. Jaws. I think we've recovered well from being stood up.
Yeah, it really threw me through this loop, and now I'm like, I was so... I don't know. I'm just so unprepared now.
Yeah. Second time it happened with the director of Headhunter and now a speedrunner.
Yeah. Hey, I will say, Jacob, I hope you're okay. I hope nothing bad happened.
Exactly. Yes. Putting positive vibes out there. I hope that is nothing like that and that you're doing okay. But Justin, do you have anything else? Will we finally stream Monster Hunter? Will we make Mr. Purcell happy?
Jesus Christ. I mean, we have to. We were talking about this yesterday. We had it fucking working when we first started. When we did the forest, it was working for us.
And when
that was fucking years ago. We
did our first Halloween special, which was the Dead by Daylight live review.
It was working. When we did fucking EDF 3 goddamn weeks ago, it was working. And I was playing from a PS5. But for some fucking reason, it's not working now. Oh my God, I'm so mad.
We'll figure it out. And again, I said it a bunch of times, but thank you, Whitney. You really helped us a lot.
Yes.
You came through clutch without even knowing you did. So, yeah, that's all I got this week. Another Silent Hill game in the books. And until next time, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a...
Oh, it's horrible. I hate it.
...and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent... It all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers, so head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.